Randala.
Yes, come on.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Anybody have any questions?
I don't.
Yeah, we'll wait to see if somebody else is online with a question.
Okay.
While we're waiting, I have a question for you all. We've had a number of the Wednesday classes where we haven't had any questions. And we've had a number of times when the questions have been beneficial and prompted other questions, and the discussions have been beneficial. There's no way of knowing what will happen. I mean, we could look at it from the standpoint of what's the energy of the week, and we should be able to tell. But should we continue the Wednesday questions and answers?
Yes, I think so. Most of the time, even if you don't have a specific question, sometimes we just get a conversation going, or one person has a question, and then other questions pop into our heads. For me, it's just hard to make 3 classes a day, along with, you know, my responsibilities, and so
I do understand that. I know I teach extensively, and
and it's also the season. You know, we're getting ready for a high holy day season, and
the truth is, the season doesn't matter, because when this season is over, the next one is Hanukkah.
Over one, and then it's another.
Exactly. The season, there is always things that will take us away from our studies. This is the time at work, and yet it's part of our lives. We live in a society that has Satan and doesn't recognize it.
Go ahead. I thought you were finished.
Well, almost. I was just going to say, I do not mind that people do not come to all of the classes. I do not mind that people do not come to a particular class. I do not mind that people don't come at all. I have whatever I have to share, and I'm going to do that in whatever format Hashem provides for it. So I don't want you to feel guilty that you don't come. That's why everything gets recorded, so that that's available again if you have the time to listen. When I was studying at the Kabbalah Center, I took a basic class for 12 weeks. And then there was Rosh Hashanah and the 22 days of holidays. And as soon as that was over, I was taking 2 classes a night, 4 nights a week. Why? Because I was hungry for the wisdom. I'm still hungry for the wisdom. And the more that I share the wisdom with people like you, the more I learn. The more I understand what's being said in each of the verses of the Zohar, the more I learn about the Tikkuni Zohar, and believe me, I'm far from understanding that at this time. It's all part of the process. So, but I appreciate what you said, and I asked a question for that reason. So now I'm going to turn it back over to you, because you now have a question.
Well, what I was thinking was that, you know, my questions this week were personal ones for me that I needed to dig. Having a grandbaby on the way, and they're decided on a name, and when they told me the name, it kind of upset me, and I didn't realize, you know, why did it upset me? And so I know the meanings of names because that was really how I got started with Hebrew way back 25, 30 years ago. So those, you know, so I had questions this week, but they were personal. And then I spent time, you know, with the experience that we've had with hurricanes. When I hear about a hurricane heading to Hawaii, well, that's, you know, that's going to put me feeling their pain and looking up the name and seeing what do I get from that, and, you know, praying for that and sending the hurricane in a different direction, you know, those kind of things. So it's not that things aren't, spiritual things aren't happening because of what we get from the classes, you know, and I don't like missing a class. So. You know, and I do find it hard to listen to a recording, but I did, I was able to do two classes that I missed when I had everything happening last week with a death in the family and extra company and that kind of thing. So I hope you won't stop the question and answer time.
I don't plan to stop it. I was just asking if it was something that, you know, whether people thought it, that two of you thought that it was the valid, has a valid purpose. Mm-hmm. So I think it does. I find the discussions when there are questions, I find it goes in very various ways, and I think it's a great learning tool.
It is.
On how to utilize the tools of Kabbalah. Anybody have any questions that might have occurred to them from this discussion at this point? Well, why don't we take the opportunity since this is Lit Elul and this is the month, the connection to the Tikkuni Zohar, let's open that up and see if we can spend a little bit of time doing that. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. I have to say that's the one class that I understand the least. Every once in a while, you know, I was kind of glad to hear you say what you did, because the last few lessons, even though, you know, supposed to be relating to the vows, I just didn't understand much, but I feel like you keep going on, and then you hit a point in the studies where all of a sudden it begins to make sense, you know, and maybe making sense isn't the right way to put it, but more understanding, or at least a section that you really get. But this is the one that I understand the least. And I go back over and reread it, and sometimes I get something from it, and sometimes I don't. Most of the time I don't, but I feel like you don't let that stop you, because scanning even the letters, you know, is valuable. So I feel like something's going there.
That's correct. The connection to the letters is where the energy is. It's where the changes in you begin. It's the letters that are doing that work. And
okay, I just thought of a question that I did have. Okay, all right. You know how we scan from right to left, but is it possible? when you have a section that you can actually focus on the whole. Let's say I'm looking at what I had printed, and half of the page is the Aramaic, and I can just look at the whole thing and see it. But is that not the way to do it? I mean, do you have to go from right to left, line upon line?
I'm going to answer your question by simply saying whatever works for you, whatever you feel correct doing is fine.
Mm-hmm.
When you read a daily Zohar email, he is taking a picture of the Aramaic. It's not being typed. So if you want to see that whole verse at once, that way, you're getting a level of energy that is more unified than looking at it word by word, which is what you do when you go right to left, or letter by letter when you go right to left, line by line.
Well, most of the time, I'll actually read the very first word. I make an attempt because there's no vowels. Sometimes I'll recognize a word, but I at least try to, what I think it is, even without the vowels, the first word and the last word.
Whenever you read, like I'm not reading the Aramaic accurately because I don't know the language of Aramaic. I have a sense of it. Maybe I'll do better than other people. Maybe I'll do worse. But I know that whatever comes out of my mouth is being changed by the angels that are putting it in your ear. So if you make an attempt to read it, like you said, that you read the first word, why not just continue that? You'll find that you'll get much more energy doing that than taking a picture of the paragraph,
mm-hmm.
which is what you're doing when you look at the whole paragraph at once. Your mind is capable of absorbing the energy of that paragraph in a glance, but that's at your unconscious level. At your conscious level, it needs to go step by step because that's what's programmed into us.
Right.
So there's no right or wrong.
Right.
What works for you, what feels right to you, do.
Well, I don't as do it the same way every time. It's just occasionally I'll look at the whole thing. Most of the time, if it's I'm really sleepy at 9 o'clock, then I'm. As you're reading, I may just look at the whole page. I have done
the same thing in my own studies earlier in the process.
And there's other times where I have my eyes closed and I'm just really listening, you know, because
and when you have your eyes closed, you know, I read something the other day, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, but when you, what you read when your eyes are open is one level. What mm-hmm. you read when your eyes are closed is another level. Because when your eyes are closed and you think you're listening, you're actually reading as well. But just because your eyes are closed doesn't mean your vision is closed. It's just moved to a different level. So we
well,
don't
I'm
think
a
of
visual
it that
learner.
Way because we're not taught to think of it that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm a visual learner, very, very visual. And so when I'm closing my eyes, I'm trying to become a better auditory as well as maybe being tired or sleepy, you know. But, you know, so.
It all works.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you have to realize you receive what you are supposed to receive at that given day, instant time. So whatever you're doing is the correct action. And that's something that people don't ever really understand.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, it's not that you made a decision to do something. Whatever you do is the best thing that you are to do at that moment in time. Now, whether that thing means it's a longer process or a shorter process, it just means that whatever you did, whatever you do at that moment, that is the correct thing for you to do, even if it is a longer process. And that's why That's why we shouldn't be looking back and saying, I made a mistake. Because it's, at that moment, it was the right thing to do. If I'm evaluating it in hindsight and saying it was the wrong thing to do, what I'm saying is Hashem's plan called for me to do that action at that moment. Am I questioning Hashem's plan? That's what you say when you're saying your action was a mistake. That doesn't mean that you won't do teshuvah. That doesn't mean you won't try and correct it. That doesn't mean you won't learn from it. All of it is part of your process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at that level of letter by letter, word by word, paragraph by paragraph, one site at one site. You know, it's our egos that are constantly telling us we make a decision and that's what's the correct decision to make. But there's not one correct decision. There's an infinite number of decisions at every moment. And whatever the action we do, that is what coalesces all of the potentials into one actual. And that's the kind of thing we get from the Tikkuni Zohar, because it absolutely does not make sense. Because it's not logical. It's never logical. It's always energy. And energy is not logical. Our unconscious mind does not think logically. Our unconscious mind thinks in pictures. Now, how do we translate those pictures into discrete letters? That's the process. So when you're looking at the paragraph, you're feeding your unconscious mind. When you're sounding out the words, you're feeding your conscious mind. And if you're worrying about making a mistake, how else are you going to learn? You came into this world to make mistakes. The rabbis have never told us we're supposed to sin, which is what is a mistake? It's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to sin. Are you really supposed to sin? Only if you learn from it. sin, and then you're going to do the same action again because you didn't learn from it, that's the true mistake. I went up to a person today that I had made a mistake. I had caused him pain. And I was going up to apologize, to ask his forgiveness. And his anger is so palpable that he couldn't even hear me say, "I'm sorry." But that anger I caused. And I still have to keep trying to reach him to ask his forgiveness at least 3 times, as you know. But the fact that he couldn't hear me say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me," tells me exactly how wrong I was in whatever I had done. Now, I can blame him. It's his anger, not mine. In one sense, I found it amusing to realize he couldn't hear me. But that was Satan saying, "Blame him." I have to blame myself. I have to recognize I was the cause. On the other hand, he does have issues for himself. But it's not up to me to tell him that that's... It's not up to me for me to judge that he's the problem. I have to realize that I had lost control, and that's why I said what I said, and that's why he ended up being angry with me. It was a learning opportunity for me. And maybe next time I'll get him when he won't be angry with me. And he'll hear me. Bezrat Hashem, that should happen. As they say in Yiddish, from your mouth to God's ears. But every action we do is an opportunity to learn. Even if we do the correct action and the Torah, we learn from the Torah and we do it exactly right, we still have the obligation to consider how it could be improved. Am I being too hard on myself or on my students to teach this?
No, not at all.
I can tell you there have been a number of students who have said what you teach is really simple. It's just too hard to live by. But it's not too hard to live by. It's just how strong is your passion, as we discussed in the Zohar class tonight.
Well, I think that's what's maybe my issue, is because I have the passion to understand it. And, I mean, like when we read the Parsha by the Ari and the classes, you know, I get so much. And yet, with the Tikkun Zohar, this one is really hard. And, you know, when you go 3 weeks in a row and you really didn't get it, or didn't get what you felt like that you understood very much, and maybe not even enough to ask the question, you know, it's, I guess in a way it's kind of disappointing, you know, because you like to see fruits from your studies, you know, but it doesn't look to me. It doesn't mean you stop the class or you don't keep going with it. You know, but you just keep going.
Right.
And hopefully that'll just be a section that maybe you didn't understand or feel like you got too much from it, but you'll get back into an area where you will again. So that's usually the pattern in life anyway.
Correct. You know, I think I've shared this story with you, this personal story of it. You know, I was living with a roommate who we were both about 2-3 years into the study of Kabbalah, and we chose to live with each other knowing that we were not compatible astrologically, so that we would utilize that opportunity to rub each other wrong and help our spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
And more than once, he would watch me as I scanned the Zohar. He was Israeli. He read the Hebrew, because at this time there was no English Zohar. It was strictly a Rabbi Ashlag's translation from the Aramaic into Hebrew, along with his commentary. So he could read it, and he understood it to whatever level he was capable of understanding at that moment. But he would watch me scan the Aramaic. And I would do it for hours at a time, because in addition to the 2 classes a night, 4 nights a week I was taking, you know, I sensed the energy, and so I, you know, that's what I was craving, was the energy, not the wisdom per se. But he would watch me. And then he would stop me and he'd say, how can you do that? How can you sit and look at something you don't understand? And by the time we drifted apart and separated, we no longer needed to live together, because we thought we had learned everything on how to live with a woman. But that's another story. But as we drifted apart, at the end of it, he said, you know, I do now understand how you can look at the Aramaic. And he had started to look at the Aramaic as well as reading the Hebrew translations, which is what the Daily Zohar does. It takes Rabbi Ashlag's Hebrew translation of the Aramaic and puts it on the page. So if you speak Hebrew, you can do both. And it's 2 different levels of energy, but it you can unify that energy. It's really very powerful doing it. You might try that one day. Scan the Aramaic and scan the Hebrew. Then try and sound out the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. Well, for 2 months, I didn't get Daily Zohar, just all of a sudden it stopped, and I didn't unsubscribe. And I just got subscribed back again. So, but that's just a little bit to, you know, to do each day. It's not quite
right.
As extensive as the Tikkuni Zohar.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely mm-hmm. true. Baruch Hashem. We're given this opportunity to connect to this wisdom, connect to this energy.
Yeah. Well, maybe someone else is having the same feelings as I am about it. Being a little discouraged when you don't feel like you're grasping something, you know.
I'm having those same feelings on a
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very clear to me. I don't understand the Tikkuni Zohar. I'm very far from it. Every once in a while, I get a gleam. Whenever you see it, there was a one of my comments. It means that I had a glimpse of that paragraph, that there was something there that I could bring down to my conscious level. Otherwise, I'm studying the Tikkun HaZohar totally on the unconscious level.
And maybe you are getting it.
I also have a level of trust in Hashem that says, if I'm studying on the unconscious level, at some point, my unconscious will bring that down and allow me to perceive it at the conscious level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
are
what we
getting
hope for.
It at the conscious level, and we don't realize it, that it was really from the study of the Tikkun HaZohar.
That is very true.
Yeah.
We never see the cause and effect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this was a good discussion. Thank you.
I agree. So I'm going to call the class because I'm a little tired, but that's part of this period of the Elul. So. Tomorrow we will have the Sklifot.
Before you close, when you said we might do something with the Tikkun HaZohar, I picked up last night's handout, and I'm looking at the next to the last paragraph in the English, and it says, the power of what relates to the connections that take place whenever we look deeper into the mystery. We keep asking the questions, and with the proper focus, we raise level by level the awareness of the mystery. So I think
it has something to do with the energy of the week.
Okay.
It's amazing, isn't it? Hashem is absolutely amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay. Well, thank you for tonight. Brandy, I heard
Shalom
that call. I hope it gets better right away.
Brandy, are you all right? We're concerned about you.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Thank you.
I know you'll be all right. My question is, are you all right? Are you all right at this moment?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay.
I noticed when I did the conference call, I saw you had called me and I missed the call, I guess because I was putting bread in the freezer that I baked today. So I'll give you a call after the call.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Be well.
And Brandy, I'm about to joke with you on a subject that you will find not joking.
Okay.
The reason you're having difficulty breathing may be because you're allergic to the animals.
Could be.
You have a good evening.
Now, are you,
breathe well.
Now, are you talking four-legged or two-legged?
It doesn't matter.
Is there a difference? Is there a difference?
Yeah. Fur and my
dog all are domestic.
In my book,
put them all
no. In my book, no.
So then you don't need to ask the question.
Okay.
You take care of it. Brandy,
you'll
feel better.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Shalom to all.
Bye. Shalom.
Remember, sleep in the morning.
Okay.